What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the host of the Worship Fuel show and the founder of loopcommunity.com, and I'm really excited about our guests today. We've got Garrett and Kate, worship leaders, songwriters from Texas. They've got this new music that they're putting out. I don't know how new it is, but they have this music they're putting out that's called like Worship Sessions. That is a collection of a bunch of worship songs together. And I am totally loving these. And I told our team, I'm like, I would love to get a conversation with Garrett and Kate. And sometimes when we do these interviews and I'm coming up with questions, I'm really struggling to come up with questions sometimes. And this one, I was like, had a million questions so easily came to me. So I'm really excited to have this conversation. So what are we waiting for? Let's bring in Garrett and Kate.
Looking for affordable, high-quality resources for your church? Check out the app lineup from Worship Tools. You can build sleek service presentations in Presenter, schedule volunteers to those services in Planning, access chord charts and other worship materials in Music Stand, and manage church attendee information with Community.
Hey, you guys.
What's going on?
Good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Man, we're honored. Yeah, seriously. Yes. So excited.
I am really pumped to have this convo with you guys because my mom, so I grew up in the Vineyard church movement, and my dad was a pastor. My mom played piano in the worship band, and I was just surrounded by worship music all the time. And we were in like Southern California in the Vineyard church in like the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And I just have so many beautiful, amazing memories of like worship during those days. And my mom, a couple weeks ago, maybe sent me a link to one of your worship sessions. And she's like, have you heard of these people? Look what they're doing. And she's like, I love this. And I'm telling you, my mom is like your biggest fan. And she's totally gotten me hooked because she plays all these worship sessions, you know, in the background. I've been doing that too now, just in my office. They're just like playing in the background. My mom, I guess, like pulls up your worship sessions and then actually like plays her piano along with you.
And uses
it as like, you know, personal prayer time. And I just love these worship sessions that you're doing because they're just so tender and they're perfect for setting the moment, like for getting you into a space where you can connect with God. And it's so refreshing because it brings me back to like 20 years ago when I was, you know, a kid, a 5-year-old running around this Vineyard church, you know, and hearing like worship always happening and flowing and people like lingering in worship. And I just love that you guys are doing that because sometimes it feels like worship can just feel so playlist now, like just a set list, like boom, boom, boom. And then we're done, 20 minutes on the dot. And, you know, I basically run a company where that's what we do as far as we sell tracks to like get people through a set list and like make it all flow. But I just love what you're doing with like mashups. And anyways, I have a ton of questions about this because I love it. But can you just like first just tell us, what is your worship and church background? Like, did you grow up in a traditional service or more of a contemporary service? Like, tell us about how you were raised.
Yeah.
Let me go first. Yeah, okay. I was born and raised in Texas, pastor's kid. Both of us are PKs. My parents primarily were worship pastors as I was growing up. And then whenever I went to college, they actually became senior pastors. So really my upbringing was all around worship. I remember, you know, walking into our living rooms and my dad being on the piano, just singing, and my mom joining in and those kinds of things. So definitely didn't grow up in a traditional kind of service, more so contemporary, probably. I'm a 90s kid. So kind of especially what you're saying, like would go. And I mean, you're there for hours. You're there on Sunday mornings. You're there Sunday nights. You're there Wednesday nights. You know, and at that point in church, I don't really remember growing up with a ton of like structure. You know, it kind of was like you could be there for an hour, but if the Spirit moves, you could be there for three, you know. Yeah. Just grew up on the pews of churches and just we're both kind of AG kids. So we grew up Assemblies of God. Okay. So just more of like charismatic backgrounds, I would imagine. Yeah. Or could say that, but yeah, the presence of God was something I feel like my parents cultivated in me my whole life. I think it's something that we try to strive for in our marriage, in our family, obviously in what we're doing with worship sessions. Yeah. But as far as like background of worship, I would say it's probably kind of similar to yours and like what even your mom would do, you know, like play on the piano and just kind of just linger in the presence of the Lord, you know.
Honestly, it's same for me. My parents, they met in the singing group and they're worship leaders. It's kind of like, I don't know if it was the phase of like you'd lead worship and then you preached and that was kind of there. Mom would play the piano and sing, dad would sing, and then he'd go into preaching. So that's kind of all we knew. And then being a PK, you kind of fill the role that's needed to like, hey, we need a drummer. So Gary, you better start learning drums. Like, and I'm one of four boys. Yeah. So we had the band together. We were locked in on that regard. But worship's kind of always been. And then even into college, went off to do it for college. And it's kind of just been our life from the beginning for both of us in our different lanes. So.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's very similar to how I grew up. Like, I remember my mom and dad just like playing. He played guitar, she played piano. We would just like worship, and they would jump from like song to song to song. And like, I mean, the amount of songs too from those days that are just buried in my head.
Yes,
that now when I sit down at a piano or play guitar, it's funny that when I want to play worship, I actually, when I'm doing it at home, I like never play a song in entirety. I'm like doing like a chorus and a bridge, and then I like, mash it up with something else and mash it up with something else. And that's what you guys are kind of doing. And I remember that actually happening at church too, which it's hard to even remember because, and maybe I'm just like not going to the right churches, but I just feel like it's harder to find that nowadays. It's more of like, worship leaders playing through a set list, play through the whole song, next, 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 and not lingering at all. My mom was telling me about like the 70s and 80s in Southern California, how churches had afterglows, which basically is like, was an extended time of worship after the church service. People came up to the altar. They'd come up there for like prayer, prophecy. They just worship. But a lot of churches I've attended recently, like don't have that. Do you think that... What do you think? Is that something that we're missing out on this season of church life?
Jeez. I would say yes. I mean, obviously just even to what we've experienced and what we've even just learned and what we've done with these sessions, we've just created space. And I think like many times we're so regimented on a Sunday morning and we're nervous that if we go over a certain time limit that people aren't going to come to church or like, you know, and I think that may scare people because you want a good attendance or whatever, but like there's something so precious in what we found that like you can have both and, but you just need to create the space for it. And I think there's churches that we've been to that they're like hard cut, you got to be done in 22 minutes and 13 seconds. And then there's other ones that are like, hey, we've got a 30-minute clock, but it's like if the Spirit of God's moving and the Holy Spirit's speaking, like, We're not gonna try and quench it and move on. So I think we've experienced both and, but I don't know. I think I do think we're missing out a little bit if we're not allowing space for the Lord to move. And it's twofold. Cause it's not like we're not limiting the Lord. Like the Lord can move in 2 minutes if he wanted to. He can do whatever he wants. But I think us creating the space for it is key. And just like knowing that we don't need to have an agenda when we come to the presence of Jesus.
Yeah, we've been like local church worship pastors at multiple different churches. And all of them have different expressions of worship, you know, but I think one thing that we have noticed in every church is like, there is a hunger for the presence of God that I feel like is increasing, you know, I mean, day by day, honestly. And I think every day, I mean, we could go on the whole thing of like every day we're one step closer to eternity, you know? So it's like our souls and our spirits are groaning for like the presence of God. And I think it's a matter of like, you know, Garrett said it, like, I don't know that there's a right or wrong. I don't think like a church that has a 17-minute set list is wrong. And I don't think a church that has a 3-hour worship time is wrong or right, you know, but I do think one thing remains the same in the local church and that what God is doing in it. And even globally, maybe even is like, there is such a stirring for the hunger of God. And we as leaders and pastors and worship leaders and all the things, we just need to learn how to discern that and really learn, like, if you are in a situation where you're in a 17-minute time clock, how do we just say, all right, Holy Spirit, like, what can we do in these 17 minutes? You know? Yeah. I just think that there's such a, like, it reminds me kind of like a volcano, like getting ready to erupt, of like just this anticipation and this like rumbling of the presence of God, that I think at some point it's, there's going to be a massive explosion, and like our churches are either going to be ready or they're not, which is really.
How do you guys think as worship leaders, we could teach people to linger in worship? Cause you know what, maybe a lot of churches aren't used to that. And it seems to me like when I've sometimes have played at a church and I've maybe gone off script and just thrown in like another chorus from a totally different song, it train wrecks everybody in a way. Like the pro presenter person like freaks out, like the band doesn't know what to do. And it's like, okay, come on guys. Like back 20 years ago when I was in church, we were like randomizing songs all the time and it didn't like fall off the rails. People still sang and joined in. So how as worship leaders could we like start teaching people how to flow a little bit more?
I think it's taught and there's vision to it. Like we're in an amazing place where the lead pastor was a former worship pastor. And so there's a greater desire on his end. And so there's vision for that. But then really, like, I think in those flow moments, one thing we try and teach a lot of our worship leaders here is like, hey, don't just jump into something without explaining or giving some context to, like learn to teach the moment versus like sink or swim. Cause I think a lot of times, like if you see some other stuff, like you don't know what kind of backgrounds people are walking in with. They might be very confused that you're just sitting there for 5 minutes and no one has said a thing. We might be enjoying this moment and the keys player might be playing this awesome riff. And we're just like, I'm not chill here for 5-10 minutes. But to the person in the audience, they're like, what's going on? And that's where I think as worship leaders, we have to, you know, it's a side of like, hey, you need to go experience the Lord in the secret place, because then our job on the platform is that from what we've experienced in the private, we're going to help people, teach people, learn how to linger or flow or worship on their own without words on the screen. Like that's stuff that we try and tell our room all the time. Like, hey, there might not be a chorus, but like, why don't you just sing the name of Jesus? Why don't you just tell them how much you love them? Like little stuff like that, I think helps cultivate that worship lingering culture. And that's what we tell our worship leaders when we do develop nights, and I encourage them like, hey, don't just dive in, like take them with you. Like, don't leave them hanging. Cause you're right. There are some people who are like, what the heck is going on in here? You know?
Yeah,
and our job as leaders is to lead. So.
Yeah. I think like I go back to the secret place, like, which could kind of be like a cliche type of thing. Cause in the practicality of it, we're not necessarily on the platform being like, learn to worship on your own and then come in corporately. Right. You know, like some people don't know how to do that. But I think the biggest thing is like, it starts in the secret. It starts with like the one-on-one relationship that you have with the Lord. And I think it's just a matter of kind of, I don't know, stirring that up in private and then bringing it to the public setting. But I'm kind of reminded of like, I feel like where we're lacking a little bit, and this is just from observation of like being in the local church and over teams and all the things, is like, I think we kind of lack in like a self-feeding mentality. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are coming into churches right now and they're used to the 1, 2, 3, your countdown video, you're this, you're that, like the structure of service. So when there is like a moment where the Holy Spirit is in there, we as worship pastors or worship leaders are in tune with it because we self-feed outside of a corporate setting.
Right.
Versus I think some people are coming in and they've never been taught that or don't know, you know, what to do, or maybe they're just coming in as consumers. And I think like that switches the mentality a little bit for personal worship, because when you come in with a consumer mentality, we're humans. We're going to fail all day long. In comparison to what God's going to do if you would just like open your mouth. And, you know, it's funny because our church is in 21 days of prayer and fasting. We do it every year, twice a year. And I was telling, we had like an acoustic set the other night. Normally we have full band and all the things, but we stripped it back, did acoustic. And I was like, hey, when there's a pastor up here that encourages you, like lift your voice, sing out a new song, like imagine yourself in the throne room of heaven where angels are constantly, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Like there's, I was like, we're not going to get to heaven and it be silent, because every single one of us has something to say or express to the Lord, like tell him how worthy he is, tell him how good he is, you know? But it takes a self-feeding, like you have to be okay to be like, I'll do this my own. I'm not waiting on so-and-so to tell me to do it.
Yeah, that's really good. I heard a pastor last week, I'm going to totally botch this, but he said something like, when you're thinking about, you know, worship, it's not a question of like, how well did the worship impact me, but how well did I do? Meaning, and the thrust there is more of like this question of like, did you enter in? Like, did you give your all? Did you enter in? And, you know, instead of just like, you know, kind of consumer mentality, taking it all in, but how well did we, you know, express worship to the Lord? You know, churches are on such a time sensitive schedule now, you know, and it totally makes sense when you think about it. Like if you've got three services, like there are logistics, there's parking lot limitations, there's children's ministry, you know, pickup, check-in, you got to get people moving. But how would you suggest a church does introduce extended times of worship? Do you think there's a place for it in the service, like the Sunday morning service that we all kind of know, or should it maybe be like a Sunday night, like, hey, we're just going to worship this, you know, a special kind of night of worship?
Yeah, I think it's both and. Yeah, because you're right. We run three services here, the church we're at currently, and you know, there's time crunch, but again, there's also moments like, hey, the Lord's moving. Like there's been services where we didn't get to the message. Yeah. And, you know, our pastor believes that a lot more can be said and done when the Holy Spirit's moving than me trying to preach a message, and vice versa. Maybe he needs to preach a message and cut worship or whatever that may look like. But I'm a pro on, you know, having your time on Sunday, but I love like the, hey, if you want more, and it kind of opening that up to maybe a Sunday night or a night of worship or whatever that looks like.
We're going to
open up prayer or something like that. I think those are great first steps to teaching a culture of flowing, of lingering, of worshiping for yourself and not waiting on the worship leader or the pastor to tell you what you do. I think it's great. It's just kind of twofold. I understand the time crunch you know, you're right. The turnaround time is tough for some people.
I love that your worship sessions are kind of a good template or a blueprint or just something to teach people. Like, hey, here's another way to worship. You know, it's not just listening through the CD straight through, but it's extended time. And you leave space in it. For anybody who's listening to this, has not listened to these, go to, you know, Apple Music, Spotify, and search Garrett and Kate worship sessions. How many of them do you have now?
We just
recorded 40 today.
No, it was 39 today.
39 today.
So we're at 39.
I think we released like 37.
And they're like an hour each.
They are.
We try and get around that 50 to an hour is kind of our goal.
Crazy. And how in the world are you guys picking the songs for those?
I was just about to say, funny question, because you said, you know, you kind of just go for it. We just pick a key and we pick normally one song to maybe start it or know at some point within this hour we want to get to this one song. And then we kind of just take a moment and listen. I think like there have been sessions that we do, you know, the two songs that we planned, and then there are other sessions that we don't do any of them. Like, you know, we record and the piano's going, and Caleb, he's our keys player and our MD, he's like just playing, you know, a spontaneous riff, and then it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, like where are we going? Like it's just like a matter of waiting and listening. And I think that's just so important, to have our like ears turned on to the Holy Spirit. You know, we felt you know, Garrett can probably add a little bit more to this, like why we started releasing them was just like, we wanted the opportunity to get in a room, go for an hour and be like, we just hope the presence of God fills your rooms the way we're hoping it fills ours, you know, kind of just like really not even as much as like for, you know, a corporate worship moment, more so like, what your even what your mom does. Like that was so encouraging to us when you said that. Cause it's like for her to sit there and get behind her piano and like have her encounters with the Holy Spirit. And we're just background, you know, just to like play it throughout our homes and our cars and our workplaces. And so, you know, sometimes we'll, you know, sometimes there have been moments where I'm like, God, I really feel like we need to do this song. Or Garrett will be like, I really feel like this is the theme of where we need to go today. And then there's been other moments where we're like, what are we singing today? We have no idea what key, you know, what key can we both flow in kind of well. And then we just kind of
go for it. It's pretty, I mean, it's exhilarating at the same time because you're right. We'll plan something. We'll literally hit record and I'm like, I'm feeling a hard right turn here. This we need to go a different route. And it's an empty room. Like we're not leading worship for someone. We're not watching the response of anybody. We're just leading worship, what we feel in our hearts. Like it's funny, the guy who stands behind our camera, because everything's in our ears, so he can't hear anything. He only hears when we start singing or playing the acoustic. So like the keys, he doesn't hear it. So hilarious. So like he's recorded, he's like, when you guys sit there and Garrett's playing, it's just dead quiet for like 10 minutes. Because he has no idea what's going on. Right. And it's a special, I would even encourage worship leaders. Like if you're wanting to get into this, like we did this with an intern class at our church where we just got in a circle with some worship leaders and our keys player and turned on the sound system in the sanctuary and we just went for it. And like, we literally had a conversation last week with a former person who's an intern now on staff. And they're like, those are some of my favorite moments where we just went for it. And like that teaches her and teaches us how to flow in a maybe corporate setting, you know, but we're doing it together with the team and just like experience the Lord together. I don't know. I think that's just something so special to maybe put into practice if you're wanting to get and try and challenge yourself to flow and kind of go for it in a corporate setting. I don't know. Those are highlights for us.
How are you guys communicating with each other? Like, is the keyboard player communicating with you in some way? I think I see in some of the videos you're flipping something on an iPad. What are you flipping through? Is it chord charts?
She's flipping through lyrics.
Lyrics. This is hilarious. Our first ever worship session.
Oh yeah.
Like the first one we ever did. I went lyricless and I messed up the entire second verse of our first song that we've ever done. And we could have stopped it there and like restarted it and been like, we're doing, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I just kept going and we got done. And I said, look, like the imperfections, we're just not going to fix them.
We'll never start and stop.
You know, and it was really funny though, because, you know, it's our first session, we don't really have a following at all. Like, and you know, people were commenting like, why did you say the wrong words in the second verse? I'm like, honestly, I just forgot them. And I just kept
it's just a mistake. Yeah.
But Caleb and I look at each other a lot, like our kind of, we've got our hand signs or whatever. We may just look at each other and just be like,
we don't have any verbal communication.
No, we're not.
So like normally on a weekend, you know, he has a mic where he can talk to us and stuff like that. But in our session,
I just throw them. If we're going somewhere new, I'm going to throw one at him, one, and then I'm going to transition myself into the next song. Or, you know, throwing the one or know that, hey, you have freedom to go somewhere else.
But you never stop. It's like record and it's an hour and it's done.
We never cut. We're kind of, like you said, we're like, hey, we're just trying to give our best. And, you know, if it means you mess up, then we mess up.
We wanted there to be nothing polished about it. I think we just wanted it to be like, hey, we're just in a room, just like you would sit at your house and play the piano.
You mess up, keep going. Like the Lord's still pleased with it. And I feel like he loves it. He loves every little imperfection of it.
Yeah. Are you using Click or Tracks at all?
No.
Yep. No Click. I love it. I love it. So I just feel like this is such a fun job you guys have, because you literally get to like for an hour, just worship, hit record. And I think worship leaders should actually try this. I really think worship leaders should try this at their church with their team. Like, let's just go for it. We're not going to even make a set list.
No,
we're not going to even, we're not using a click. Like, we're not using tracks.
Yeah. And you know, we don't do that on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. Like we're dialed in.
We're dialed in with what our church culture is here. But like Garrett said, like with our intern class, we did that once a week. And at 9 o'clock on Wednesday mornings, we would invite our staff to come into the auditorium if they wanted to come. It wasn't required or anything. And we would just say, hey, we're going to go for it. And we would just let our interns flow into whatever they were feeling in the moment. You know, I think it's a great way to cultivate, just spontaneous worship, honestly, like within your teams, like on a practical side, as church goes, like, it's a great way as leaders to be like, how do we want to deepen our team? And I think it's a great way to be like, hey, like, and even, you know, we had interns, they were here during the day, you know, but even for those that work, it's like, we have these things called night to rights at our church. And that was exercising more of like your songwriting ability. And we would once every, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, maybe. There was a little bit more consistency at first. But it's like, do a Friday night every 4 months, you know, and be like, hey, we're going to come in and just push record or not even record. Like, we're just going to get in a room and sing. And,
Yeah. Because you don't have to do it in front of 300 people. Just do it midweek in your office. And it does take practice. It's a way to like also just practice flowing as well.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to flex that muscle, especially if you're desiring that in a Sunday morning. Like, start there, start small, don't record it. Do it for yourself, for your leaders that want to grow in that, and like just create the space and watch the Lord meet you. Like he'll love those moments, just like he'll love the big moments that we look for on a Sunday. Like, it's both things are beautiful.
What would you say to a worship leader who maybe really wants this and craves this, like desires more for their church in this area, but team and staff or maybe even pastor aren't super interested?
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Tough one because you ought to honor vision of the house.
Yeah.
First and foremost. And so like, you know, if the pastor is not in that place, like, hey, here's a great idea. Start these worship sessions for yourself in your office and invite your lead pastor to them. If he's not interested in it, and it's like, hey, would you come and like be with us as we just sing to the Lord and maybe read the scriptures and let's just like listen to the Holy Spirit together. I don't know. Maybe that will spark something for them for the practical. Yeah. But I think it needs to start small first. If it's not maybe necessarily allowed or that's not the culture of the church yet, like start small, you know, have those conversations with your pastor and your team. Be like, hey, what would this look like if we had an extra 5 minutes of just lingering? Maybe the pastor came up and taught this moment. Hey, we're just gonna sit here for a moment and let the Lord speak to us. Like, who knows what could happen? You're just creating the space for the Holy Spirit to speak to everybody in the room, no matter what background you have. Like, it could be really special just to like, hey, well, let's just try. Let's just see what happens, and then you know. Kind of just start there. I think that's a great start to just.
Yeah. And I'm reminded, like, so Garrett and I, you know, over the last, we've been at our current church for 4.5 years, started feeling transition probably 2 years ago or so. And not because of like cultural shifts or anything like that. So like maybe the person that's desiring this is at a church where they're feeling transition and it's because of their worship culture. Okay. Ours is not that. Our like primary reason to start sessions is because we just felt like God said, do it. And we were like, okay, we're going to do it. You know, nothing against or for our culture here in the church. But I think one thing I'm reminded of is the verse that God like really, that really got me through this season was it's Psalms 37, which is like your trust in the Lord with all your heart type deal. But there's a certain translation that says, dwell in your land and befriend faithfulness. And the befriend faithfulness is something that I like highlighted and bolded and All caps. And it's something that I feel like God always brings me back to, like when we're asked questions like this, of like, hey, you know, there's a worship leader that I know that's at a church that they're not being able to exercise, you know, this spontaneous flow that they really feel like God's telling them to do, whatever. Like, befriend faithfulness where you're at and trust that God is going to unlock something at the church that you're in. Or there will be a conversation of whatever is next for you. But I think the biggest thing is in your moment, it's like we befriend faithfulness because God told us to be here, you know? Yeah. And like, I think too, for worship leaders that are desiring it, it's like if it's inside of you and you're cultivating it in your home and you're cultivating it in your office and you're the one that's getting alone with the Lord and just worshiping for an hour, like you don't know, you could be the ember that sparks the whole entire thing to catch on fire. You know, like it's a matter of like, if God has called you to a house and called you to a place, you stay planted because God says that things that are attached to the local church, like you will flourish. That is what the word of God says. But then on top of that, it's like this befriending faithfulness mentality, because the Spirit of God's going to rest on you, you know, whenever you're doing and being obedient to what God's telling you to do. It can be frustrating though, because we've been we grew up, obviously we talked about it a little bit earlier, like in more charismatic environments. Mm-hmm. And then we went to colleges. Garrett went to college in Florida. I went to college in Dallas. And the church that I was at was much more structured than anything I had ever been a part of. Like, you're talking multi-campus. Everybody has to end at a certain like time stamp, like literally to the second. And it was very odd for me to understand. There were really good things about it because I learned structure. I learned that, oh my goodness, like we can create these moments and like God can come in these, you know, 20 minutes that we have. Like, people are experiencing Jesus, but there's something inside of me that was just like bubbling over to like want. But the church that I was at, they would do nights of worship. And there was, but there were spaces that were created. So I think you can get really creative wherever you're at. You know, it's just a matter of, I think it starts internally. So I'm like, if you're desiring it and you're not doing it in your private time,
there's the first place to start.
Then that's the first place I would suggest starting, because it will, like, God will bless it. Like, it's just, God loves our worship and he will bless it. And so
that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so great. That's really, really good encouragement there. Tell us just before we wrap up here, tell us just a little bit about you guys. Like, do you have a family? How long have you guys been together? How did you guys even meet?
So I went to college in Florida, took a job in Naples, Florida. Retirement. Shout out to all the retired people down there.
Yeah.
And so went down there and I was part of a church there. And we hired our mentor now for one of our campuses from Dallas. And he's like, I have a worship leader I want to hire with us. And that was Kate. And of course, we were two single worship leaders. And so we got pinned together pretty fast. And we were
on staff at the same church.
We did. Yeah. So I was hired to go to a campus that they were like launching. Yeah. And so I was a campus worship pastor and Garrett was like the main kind of central worship pastor at this church.
Yeah. And so we hit it off, became best friends and you know, next thing you know, we got married and
we were like, this is not happening. Yeah. Absolutely not. We are not for each other. And then that lasted about 4 months.
And then we got together and we got married super fast.
Yeah, within a year.
Within a year, we got married.
Dated, engaged, married, all the things.
Yeah. And then in 2020, things kind of shifted in us. And that's when we ended up moving from Florida to Texas. We're on staff with her dad. Her whole family's down here. And then we've got one baby girl. Her name is Eden. She'll be 3 in March. And we have one on the way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love the name Eden. We actually named... That's the middle name of our third child.
Love it.
Melody Eden. I love Eden. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's been an amazing journey for us. And it's funny though, like if we go back and look, like we actually started doing these things, like sessions, if you want, we didn't call them sessions at the time, in 2020.
Yeah.
And
well, we were newlyweds and locked up.
We were locked up for 3 months. You know? So we're like, oh,
so it's like, okay.
And yeah. then we put a stop to it because we were feeling a shift in our hearts. And I think yeah. it was the time of the Lord, honestly. And then now, you know, we started these in March of last year, and it's just been pretty overwhelming just to hear the responses, like even the stuff yeah. like with your mom. And that's been, I think that's been our goals, like turn them on, yeah. let them fill yeah. your house. I'm not expecting people to sit in the room and watch our every movement. Like, no, like yeah. we pray that these would help you experience Jesus a little bit more. And, yeah. And so it's been a really fun journey for us this last year, just seeing the impact it's made with
people. Yeah. Just a few weeks ago, a friend of mine is a carpenter, and he texted me and he's like, hey, you know a lot about music. What's just some like good worship music that I just want to like start the day off right? I want to play it in the workshop for the guys as they're coming in, just in the background. Like, what's some good new stuff? And I was like, that's easy. The only thing you should be playing when people are walking in are these worship sessions, and dang. Just let it go. And he messaged me recently and he's like, it's just a game changer. It just sets the mood, the tone of the workshop. And so I just love what you guys are doing. I'm encouraging everybody here to go listen. And thank you for taking the time to have this conversation.
Thank you for having us. It's an honor. And it's been cool. Yeah.
If you guys can stick around just for like 1 minute, I have one more question for you, but see you later. We'll be right back. All right, you guys, great conversation with Garrett and Kate. Make sure you go to Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you listen to music. Even go to YouTube. They've got the worship sessions like on video there. And just search Garrett and Kate Worship Sessions, and you will see what we're talking about. You do not want to miss it. Go check them out. Thanks to Garrett and Kate for joining us for this. Hit the subscribe button to stay tuned for future Worship Fuel shows, and we'll see you next time.